Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
And every Thursday here on Lunchtime Live, we like to answer any of your financial questions or money queries that you may have. Our financial guru, Eoin McGee, who is, of course, too, the author of How to Be Good with Money, is with us here on the programme today. Eoin, how's things?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Not too bad at all. Now it's 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. If you have a question or a query for Eoin that you'd like answered today. Eoin, I know we were talking about mortgages here on the show last Thursday, but we actually have more texts in this afternoon from people. So I might just start with one or two of the house related ones. First of all, this listener says, I'm 26, currently saving up the house deposit with my partner. We've decided to wait another year or two before looking to apply for a mortgage as the prices are just too high at the moment. At the minute, I'm saving over 50% of my income, most into the deposit and the rest between other savings accounts. Would it be a plus for the bank when we do apply for the mortgage, or should I tone it down a little bit if it's not going to make a massive difference to the lender?
No, sorry. Like, if you're committed to this and you're surviving okay, living on 50% of your wages and saving 50%, it's certainly not going to go against you. There's no chance it's going to go against you. But there is a kind of a... sometimes what can happen is people can get so caught up in it and get so miserable that they end up blowing it all, and they say, oh, the world is open up again, I'm going to go on a big massive holiday instead, or whatever it is, and they fall off the wagon and they get caught out, that they just can't stick with it because they've set it up so hard for themselves. So what I would say is that make sure you're comfortable with it. And if it's feeling a little bit tight and you're finding it really hard and life a bit miserable, then tone it down by all means. But no, if you can keep it going, certainly keep it going. Yeah, it's not going to go against you.
There won't be a penalty if they do tone it down. Like, no. 50% is a huge, that's unbelievable amount.
Yeah, well, that depends. If they're on 500 grand a year, they might be all right doing it. Do you know what I mean? It depends. Like, if you're the difference between saving 50% of a 25 grand wage and saving 50% of a 250 grand wage when you're living at home is very, very different. So it's all relative. But what I would say is that if they do feel that life is very miserable and they do want to tone it down, do it in a very deliberate way. So bring it from 50 down to 40 and see how you feel, and then bring it down to 30 or whatever it is. But the important thing for this person to realize is, go on to just Google mortgage calculator, work out, take your salary and your partner's salary, add the two of them together and multiply them by 3.5. So let's say the combined salary is 100 grand. That means the central bank rules say that they can borrow up to 350,000 euros. Find out how much the 350,000 euros is going to cost you on a month-to-month basis, and make sure between the two of you, between rent and savings, you're saving at least 1.3 times whatever that is.
Okay.
So to keep it simple, 1,000 euros a month. If the mortgage repayment on the loan that you're able to get is 1,000 euros a month, you need to be showing that you're saving 1,300 euros a month, because otherwise the bank won't be as convinced that you have the ability to pay back the mortgage when you get it. So that's the starting point. And then see where you are with your 50% or your 40% or your 35%. But if life is too difficult and miserable, like, life is miserable enough at the moment. So if it's too miserable, pull it back.
Okay. This listener is 65 and single, owns their own home outright, but says they want to move house. Any advice on how to get a part loan, about 100,000, to purchase a house without having to sell my existing home? I really don't want to rent in between houses as well.
Okay, sorry, I assume they're going to sell their house at some stage, but the kind of, okay, so if they're just looking for a second home, if it's a second property, kind of unusual, and I thought it was just that they were waiting for the other one to be built or something. So if there is a thing that's come out, there's one provider in the market now. This one is one that really gets people kind of head up about it. It's one of these release loans, these equity release loans for seniors. So it's people typically over the age of 60 years of age. They can release some equity in their home if they have no mortgage on it. They can get some money out of the house. They don't make loan repayments on it. So the loan gets paid back in full when they die, typically. Now, if they come up with the money in the meantime, they can pay it back a bit earlier. But the loan gets repaid on death. The problem with these loans are that because you're not making any payments, you pay interest. The interest accumulates up, and you pay interest and interest, and they can accumulate up very, very quickly. There are very limited circumstances where these things make sense. And the limited circumstances are, if you're a single person, 72 years of age, with no money, no dependents, and nobody that you really care about leaving money to, when you're gone, well, then you might as well release some equity out of your home. And then there's the other scale of things where people really get caught out, where they borrow 50,000 euros or 25,000 euros. And it doesn't take long to be owned back twice as much as you borrowed, and it's accumulating up on a year-to-year basis. So tread extremely carefully. But there are loans out there for people in that age bracket with no mortgage on their house at the moment that they can release some of the equity from their home.
This listener says they're shortly receiving a large sum of money for retirement. They want to know what's the best place to put it in with very low interest rates in existence. I'm risk averse by nature too, says this texter.
Yeah, well, the problem with being risk averse is if you're not going to spend that money in the next 5 years, risk averse means that you're typically when you really scratch the surface and what you mean by risk averse, I don't want to put it into stocks and shares. So then you're leaving yourself with the option of just putting it into bank accounts or credit unions or on post. The problem with that is that when you do that and you do it over a long period of time, the risk averse person is actually signing up to guarantee themselves to lose money. And the reason why they're losing money, even though, let's say it's 10,000 euros, even though the 10,000 euros won't drop to 9,800 euros, something that costs 10,000 euros today in 4 years' time is going to cost 10,800 euros if the European Central Bank get their inflation control right. So they want 2% inflation per year. And in simple terms, inflation just is how much is a basket of goods today compared to how much it is this time next year. The European Central Bank wanted to go up by 2% a year. That's good for the economy. Now, if you have 10,000 euros today, the basket of goods in 4 years' time is going to cost 10,800 euros. If you put it into the best deposit account that's available out there, which happens to be state savings, over a four-year period at half of 1%, your 10,000 euros is only going to become 10,200 euros. You will have guaranteed yourself to have lost 600 euros in that example.
Okay.
So you do have to turn up the risk if you're not going to spend the money in the short term.
James is 45 at the end of the month, and he says he needs to set up a pension. What's the best way for me to proceed?
So the first thing James should do is, what people don't realise is that if you don't have a pension in work, your boss is required to give you access to what's called a PRSA. Now, your boss is not required to pay into that PRSA for you. They're just required to facilitate it. They should have designated, it's what's called a designated PRSA provider. So you should be able to go to your boss and say, who's our PRSA provider? And they'll say, oh, it's XYZ. And you'll be able to make contact with them. You'll be able to set up your PRSA, which is just a pension. That's all it is. Set up your pension and it can be deducted, and your boss has to facilitate it being deducted from your wages. Now, some people say, oh, I'm not rocking the boat with my boss. We never mentioned pension before. There are companies who have been fined in the past for not having this in place. So if your boss doesn't have one, you're doing them a favor by flagging it to them, because someday along the line, they may get fined for doing it, for not having them. So PRSA is the easiest one. Just talk to your boss, because you'd be surprised with what type of access they have to pension consultants. And that's probably the quickest step, I suppose, Andrea.
Yeah, this listener is 50, going through a divorce. I'm buying my partner out of the house. I need about 70,000 to 80,000. We have a tracker mortgage with equity of about 200. What are the best options for me in this case with an eye to keeping the tracker?
Yeah, if you're going to keep the tracker, the bank are most likely going to just try and use this as an opportunity to take the tracker off you. If the partner is looking to come off the mortgage and you can cope with the mortgage by yourself, that person can cope with the mortgage, they can qualify for the mortgage for themselves, and the partner's looking to come off it, it's a new loan agreement is what I'd imagine the bank are going to push them down the route of. Now, if your partner is saying, yeah, you know what, I'll leave my name on the mortgage and I'll sign, like, we'll come to a legal agreement in the background that when the mortgage is cleared that the house is signed over to you, or we now get legal advice on that to set that up properly. Every time you go to change terms and conditions on a mortgage, banks take the opportunity to try and take the tracker mortgage off you. So you'd need to look at the terms and conditions. You need to talk to your solicitor, and maybe if things with the ex-partner are reasonable, you might be able to talk to them about what are they willing to do in terms of staying on the mortgage until the mortgage is gone.
Just another listener, I'm 52, a 52-year-old woman and divorced. According to the divorce, though, I have to sell the house in 5 years' time. I've no savings. There's 80,000 owed on the mortgage. The house is worth approximately 200,000. I earn under 70 per year. What does Owen recommend?
Yeah, the problem you're going to have there is with the age in that position, the loan repayments are going to be quite high. Like on 70 grand with the central bank rules 3.5 times, they might have qualified for the loan by themselves. I think you get a good mortgage broker there, see what you can do. really what you want to do is you need to pay off the obviously they're being forced to sell the house because of the legal arrangement to split the proceeds of the house 50-50. If the other person's willing to get their 50% out of it, you have some other way of coming up their 50%, I'm sure they'll walk away from the thing of being told that you have to sell it. As long as they're getting their money out of it, they'll be happy with it. So it might be a case of that you look at the 50% of the positive equity that's in the home, and you come up with that some way, whether it's by topping up the mortgage because you can qualify for on your own. It would be a good idea, rather than waiting for this thing to blow up in 5 years' time, it would be a good idea to do it now, because you've got 5 years extra earnings. Like, you've 5 years extra left in your career if you go looking at it now, as opposed to leaving it for a few years. See if you can qualify for the loan now. See if you can go back to the person and say, look, are you happy? So I'm talking about the ex-partner. Are you happy? This is where we're at right now. This is what it is. Now, some people will argue house prices are so high at the moment, you could be doing yourself, but we don't know where house prices are going to go in the future. So you could be doing yourself a favor or a disfavor. We don't know where it's going to end up in the next 5 years. Okay. I would go talk to a mortgage broker if I was that person. And I would say, right, do it sooner rather than later, because you've longer left in your career to pay back the mortgage.
Okay. This listener is wondering, can we ask you, what's the best option to save €300 per month to put towards retirement? I'm late and entering to teaching, and my pension after 19 years service will be about €6,500 per year plus a lump sum. Getting worried, okay, says this texter.
So when you do the maths on this, right, this person's paying 300, they've got €300 a month to spare. So that's €300 a month from their after-tax income, right? So they've paid the tax on it, it's gone into their bank account, and they've got €300 a month that they're thinking about putting aside. They can put that €300 a month aside into a bank account or into a long-term savings policy. They can expose it to stocks and shares. Or if they're on the higher rate of tax, let's just make the math simple for me. If they're on the higher rate of tax, they could actually put €500 a month into their pension, or in their case, an AVC, because they've already said they've got a main scheme there. So they can put €500 a month into a pension, and it'll only reduce their take-home pay by €300 a month. It's the same effect, but now they've significantly increased what they're putting aside. That person really needs to look at, in their case, AVCs. It's just a pension, just another name for a pension. And they really need to look at that, because that's the clever thing to do in this situation.
Just very finally, Owen, this listener was employed in 2019 on €55,000. Their spouse's salary was €20,000. They were on social welfare for 10 months this year as well. Total earned €10,000. Am I due a tax rebate?
Yeah, well, the easiest thing to do is just request what's called a balancing statement. So a balancing statement, anybody can request this from their local revenue office, and it just looks at what way were your tax credits applied in the previous year, does a calculation on it, and tells you straight off, without a whole pile of work, like little or no work from you, whether you're due a refund or not. That's the simplest thing to do for that person.
Okay, financial guru Owen McGee, and author of How to Be Good with Money. Owen, we will talk to you again next Thursday. Thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. That's all we have time for on the programme. If you've missed any of the show, you can listen back on the website or on the News Talk app. My thanks as always to the production team, Michael Quilligan, and sound producer Sean Reedy, with research today by Ross Leahy and Shifra Mulqueen, the editor as well, Mark Simpson. Sean Moncrief is going to be here next, though. Claire McKenna will be in tomorrow afternoon. I'll be back again on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.